As everybody's making their way out, if y'all would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be in verses 13 through 41 tonight. This is the third week in our series called Serve. Tonight I've titled this Serving on Empty. Serving on Empty. A little recap. Over the last 2 weeks, we've seen that Jesus both commanded us to serve. We saw that in Mark 10. And then last week, we looked at how Jesus modeled humble service in John chapter 13. Tonight, we're going to see what serving looks like when it's hard, when you're tired, when you're grieving, or it just feels inconvenient. Unfortunately, I have experienced how you can lose an opportunity to serve somebody and experience the repercussions of it. I can remember one day I came home from work, and it had been a long day, and a lot of things had happened that were not desirable. And when I got home, I was met, one of the kids came up to me, and they had wanted something done all day that they couldn't do themselves, but I could. And so they came to the one source that could help them with the thing that they needed done, and I just went off on them like a good dad. Responded negatively, told them, do they not respect I've been at work all day? Do you not respect that I'm tired? First thing I do when I get home is you ask me to do something. I can't even sit down for a minute. And then I saw the negative outcome. I saw the face, the broken heart. I mean, all they wanted was one little thing that I could help them with, and I refused to serve them in that moment. And of course, I regretted it. That's kind of the negative side effects of not serving when we're tired. I wish I had just served her. Tonight, here's the lesson. Christ-like service means giving even when it's the last thing you want to do. In Matthew 14, where we're going to be at tonight, just to kind of put us in the context, Jesus has just received some devastating news. John the Baptist, his cousin and the forerunner, has been murdered. Jesus withdraws to be alone. I mean, rightfully so. But the crowds won't leave him alone. Thousands follow him as he's going to just kind of be quiet and grieve for a little bit and take in what's just happened. And unlike me, the dad that afternoon, instead of sending them away, he served them. If we're going to be successful at serving on empty, then we must have compassion for others. Compassion for others. Look at verses 13 and 14. Now when Jesus heard about John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. So Jesus withdrew to a secluded place. He was obviously, as I just mentioned, he's grieving John the Baptist's death. People knew, though, that Jesus could help them. Just like my kids that day, they knew that I could help them. They knew that Jesus could help them. So what did they do? They sought him out. There's a great truth right here that's just kind of hidden. But true servants will be given many opportunities to serve because you'll be recognized as a servant and useful to other people. They saw that in Jesus. How did Jesus respond to the sick and needy crowd in his grief? Did he lash out at them? Did he tell them, do you not know that I'm grieving? Did you not hear that my cousin's dead? Do you not know that I'm tired? Do you not see that I'm trying to get away? No. He saw the large crowd. He felt compassion for them and he healed their sick. His response to exhaustion wasn't irritation. It was compassion in action. Several weeks ago, I made the decision to be back in bed by 9 p.m. I used to have a great rotation. I love to be in bed at 9, be asleep by 10. That way I can get up early. I'm feeling good the next day. And I've just, over the summer, I've slipped to 10:10, 10:20, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then I'm trying to get up and I don't feel as good. So I made the decision a couple of Saturday nights ago. I said, that is it. I'm getting in bed at 9 o'clock. I'm going to be asleep by 10 o'clock and I'm going to get back on my rotation. I got in bed at 9 o'clock. I said, yeah, amen. I did it. Step one is complete. I did a little reading. And right before I put my phone over there on the, set my alarm and put my phone on silent beside me, I get a text message. I said, I'm going to look at it. And I'm glad I did. That text message was an opportunity to serve somebody, even though it was late. And I had the choice. I'm going to bed at 10. I'm going to do that. I wanted to do that. I need to do that so that I'm a better me tomorrow, right? Or you had plans, you don't anymore, and now you've got an opportunity to serve. Thankfully, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I chose to serve in that moment. But one thing that helped me to serve in that moment was I reflected back on my daughter's face that day. And I said, well, weigh it out. Stay in the bed like your plan is, or you can go and serve. Weigh it out. What's the repercussions if you don't go? And I could not bear the thought of even thinking about what the repercussions of not serving in that moment was. And so I did. And I didn't tell you that to pat myself on the back. I don't need you to commend me for that, but I'm just telling you, you're going to have opportunities to serve when you have other plans, when it's not convenient, when it doesn't line up. And you've got to make a decision to serve or not in those situations. Know that serving is rarely convenient. Know that sometimes God calls us to serve when we feel least able. Know that Christ-like compassion is shown and noticed when we serve during tiredness. I'll leave you with a question. How do you respond when people interrupt your plans?
Oh, I can't believe it. Did they not know what I was going to do?
Irritation or compassion? We're going to respond one way or the other. Jesus chooses compassion. Jesus commands compassion. If we're going to be successful at serving on empty, then we must have faith when resources look scarce. Faith when resources look scarce. 15 through 17, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish," as if Jesus didn't know that. The disciples saw the problem. We're good at identifying the problem, right? We can tell you why we shouldn't do anything. I mean, we're good at that. We're pro. I'm not going to bring that into this. But we're good at that. They said, "This is a desolate place, Lord. There's no McDonald's, no Jack's. There's not even a marketplace right here. And we're like in the middle of a desert. And there's no food." What do you mean, feed them? We're good at identifying the problems. We can tell you what the problems are. And how did Jesus respond? I'd have loved to heard how he said it too. "You give them something to eat." I can just see the eyebrow raise up. Like, you. Their response? More problems. "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I don't know if you've looked at the crowd. But that ain't going to get it. What are we going to do with this?" The disciples saw scarcity. They only looked at their own power and their own possession. Jesus saw an opportunity for service, for teaching, and for faith building. Have we developed eyes to see as Jesus sees? Or are we always looking for the problem and always seeing the scarcity? Do we see opportunities or do we see problems? Do we walk around looking through a pessimistic lens where everywhere you look, it's half empty? Oh, but we can't because, but look over here. Oh, well, look at how sad. Oh, well, it's not that. It's not that. Or do we go, but see as Jesus sees, opportunity, 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 opportunity. We have a choice. You can look at it one way or the other. I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've heard either a Christian or a church member make this similar phrase. I don't have much to offer. Or something along those lines. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? I don't have anything to offer. What? I don't know what I would do. I mean, I can't really do anything. They're looking with eyes like the disciples in this situation. We don't have any bread. We're in a desolate place. They're not trying to see how Jesus sees. What is my opportunity? What do I have to offer? The truth is this, and I am at the front of the line for this. None of us really have that much to offer. We don't. But guess who does? Jesus, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. With His power, He takes very little and He makes a lot. And I think sometimes we get so focused on how little we bring to the table, we forget to think, but what can God do through me? His creation. He made me. He, this way. He made you how you are. He gave you the gifts. He gave you the talents. And just reflect on what God can do through us as opposed to our shortcomings and our pessimistic views of ourselves. God isn't asking if you have enough. He's asking if you'll give Him what you've got. He didn't tell them they didn't have enough fish and bread. He just called their attention to what they had. Some quick applications for us. We don't need to wait for enough time. We don't need to wait for enough money. We don't need to wait for enough energy. We need to start with what we've got and trust God to multiply it. We must have faith when resources look scarce. If we're going to be successful at serving on empty, then we must have confidence in God's provision. Confidence in God's provision. Verses 18 through 21. And He said, Jesus, bring them here to me. Talking about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, He blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Possibly 10,000 people. That's pretty good for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The miracle only happened when the disciples put what little they had into the hands of Jesus Christ. We see nothing before that. This truth is a lesson for us all. What seemed small in the disciples' hands was more than enough in Jesus' hands. Let's be honest, weren't the disciples justified to worry a little bit? I mean, when you look at 10,000 people and you see what you got, you're thinking, oh my goodness. Jesus, you're going to have to pull one off right here, buddy, because this is looking pretty dark. Home team's not looking good on this one. But we worry about smaller things. We worry more on less difficult problems. I do. So we can't really throw stones at the disciples. We've got an opportunity coming up in October to kind of apply this. We've got a men's event coming up in October here at the church. Very excited about it. I don't know how many is going to be here. How much food should we have? What should we do? What are all the things that we should do? We could worry ourselves to death over this event and lose our joy and lose our peace and lose our purpose on why are we doing it. And I'm not saying to go willy-nilly either. God did give us a brain, so don't hear me just saying we're just going to just take it as it comes either. But I think if we would cast our cares upon the Lord, petition Him for His wisdom and His strength, ask for His leadership and guidance, and use the gifts, the talents, and abilities that He's given us, it's going to go great. Amen? That's just one opportunity that we've got going forward. What I love about this miracle is the amount left over. Did y'all see that? Have y'all ever thought about it? Have y'all ever really focused on the last part of this? You'll overlook it because you're still kind of in awe about how Jesus fed 10,000 people. How many baskets were left over? 12. How many disciples were there? Who do you think you picked up? He gave those 12 baskets to? How do you think it felt as they were picking up the abundance of what was left over and putting in the baskets, in their doggy bags, their to-go boxes? I've been like, man, I don't know what I was worried about. I'm sorry, Jesus. Like every time I'd be looking at him, like, I know, I'm picking it up. There's a lesson there. I can almost guarantee you tonight, and I don't know every situation in here, I know mine. How many of us need to go back and look at our basket? I can almost guarantee everybody in here's got a basket that Jesus has given you, and you've put an abundance in more than one time. So instead of worrying and asking Jesus, can you do this? Look at that basket in your memory. Man, he provided then. He met that need then. I only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus gave me an abundance. And I'm not saying if you're outside of His will and going looking for a basket, but if you're in God's will and you're in God's calling and He's calling you to something and it looks like there's not enough, just remember, if He's calling you to it, He's going to provide you through it. And I believe that. Again, in His will, not getting outside of that. Serving is not about what you can produce. It's about what God can do with what you give. When you serve Him in His strength, God multiplies it in ways that we will never understand on this side of heaven. Generally speaking, in life, if I have confidence, I perform better. Is that y'all? If you have confidence in something, you usually do a little better. If we want to perform better in the arena of serving God, then we need to grow in our confidence of God's provision. Serving on empty. Jesus showed compassion even when He was grieving. Jesus saw opportunity when His disciples only saw scarcity. And Jesus provided abundantly when little was placed in His hands. Serving on empty doesn't mean serving in your own strength. It means trusting God to use what little strength, what little time, or what little energy you still have, and to put that into His hands. If Jesus could serve when He was tired, grieving, and pressed by the crowd, then you and I also can serve, even when it feels inconvenient, uncomfortable, or overwhelming. I'm going to give you a challenge for this week, as we have the previous weeks. When you feel drained or interrupted in the days ahead, choose to serve anyway. When you get to the opportunity, you go, I just don't have it in me. Y'all ever say that? I ain't got it in me. I can't do it. Do it anyway. Put the little bit that you got left and pray about it. Say, Jesus, I don't feel like I got it. I don't feel like I got what it takes to serve in this. But I'm going to serve, and I'm going to ask you to provide the rest, and see if He won't meet you there and provide. Offer your 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, and watch and see if He won't multiply it for His glory. And what I love about that is, so if you go into that situation and God gives you that situation this week, you pray and you go into it, and then he does meet you there and He multiplies it, guess who gets the glory? Are you immediately going to walk away and go, man, look what I did. Even though I was so tired and I didn't think, look at this. Look, you know, you're going to go, God answered a prayer right here, and I'm thankful. And we can just give Him the glory, because we know, we admitted it before we went into it, that we didn't have what it takes. So who can we glorify? Him. Tonight we saw how Jesus served even when it cost Him His rest and comfort. Next week, our 4th week, final week, we're going to be in Philippians 2. And we'll see the ultimate cost of service when Jesus gave His life for us on the cross. Let's pray.